It was my first time away from home, away from my dad, mum, brothers, and my sister. I was on a school holiday at the Isle of Wight. I guess I was about 10 years old. Exciting. Be away from home. See new places. It was something of an adventure. I remember seeing we went to the Isle of Wight, and I remember seeing the Needles Lighthouse. That's a sight to see. And the lighthouse warns ships not to come too close. There are rocks. There are dangers. Paul's letter to the Colossians is like a lighthouse flashing. There's danger. Be careful. He tells us throughout this letter, but especially in Colossians 2:4, that there were preachers who were pleasant, they were plausible, they were persuasive, but they were teaching false doctrine. To those who were not listening carefully, it sounded much like Paul's teaching, but it was different. And there's the danger. It sounded so right, but it was like the rocks on which the ships could break up. And Paul, in this letter to the Colossians, is warning us there are false teachers. Be alert. Be awake. See the flashing of the lighthouse. I especially want us to come to Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now you'll notice this section begins with the word therefore. And the old preachers used to say, when you see therefore, ask, what is it there for? Therefore. He's saying, be careful. False teachers. Plausible, pleasing, and so on. Therefore, be careful. Walk in him. That's the way to be safe. To avoid being caught up in the false teaching. To avoid smashing the rock of your life on the rocks of false teaching. So, Paul is telling them to walk in Christ Jesus. Two questions as we unwrap these two verses. The first is, how do I begin this walk? Walk in him? Well, okay, I want to know how to begin the walk. And then, if I've started the walk, the second question is, how do I continue this walk? So how do I begin the walk? How do I continue the walk? Now, the answer, how do I begin this walk, is there in verse 6. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, you've got to receive Christ Jesus the Lord to start on the walk. To receive Christ Jesus, it is a gift and it is a welcome. You receive Christ Jesus when you become a Christian. It's a gift. You can't earn it. Of course not. If it's a gift, it's given to you. And you can't earn it. Of course you can't. You can't merit it. It's given to you freely as a gift. And it's a gift you didn't even know you needed until God began to speak to you through his word, by his spirit. You didn't know you even needed this gift. Indeed, it's a gift you didn't really want. People talk to you about the Lord Jesus, and you weren't really interested. No, I don't want all that stuff. I don't want to get too serious. I don't mind going to church sometimes, but I don't want to get too worked up about it. But then God begins to work in your heart. And you begin to say, yes, I want this gift. I want the Lord Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want to start on this walk. And when someone gives you a gift, it's an insult to refuse it, isn't it? My birthday just last month, seems a long time ago now, but that was about a month ago. Well, when I was given a gift, I accepted it gladly, joyfully. Oh, that's just what I wanted. Well, the person given the gift would have been insulted if I said, oh, I don't want that. Take it away. I'll never use that. But I received it gratefully, joyfully. It would have been an insult to my wife or whoever if I did not receive the gift that they had given to me. And it's an insult if you do not receive God's gift of Jesus Christ. He sent him from heaven. He sent him to die on a cross. It's an insult to God. It's not only an insult, but it's dangerous. Now, if I refuse a gift, well, it might cause a rift. It might cause an argument. It might offend somebody. But it's not really dangerous, is it? But to reject God's gift is dangerous. Because if you reject God's gift, Jesus Christ, then you'll be banished from his presence forever in a place the Bible calls hell. So it's a gift. But also, to receive Christ is a welcome. You receive him into your life, into your heart. You say, welcome. Come, Lord Jesus, into my life. Now let's just picture a house. It's been derelict and empty for some time. You go in the door. Oh no. Cobwebs and rubbish everywhere. And it smells because the windows have not been opened. What do you do? Why? You throw open the windows. You clear away the cobwebs and the rubbish. When Christ comes into our life, he clears away the cobwebs and the rubbish of sin. The light comes flooding in. He makes our life pure. The house is changed when Christ comes into your life, when you receive him. Now, to get into the house, in my illustration, you would need some keys. I've got a key here. The key into the house is the key, there are two keys, of repentance and of faith. Repentance, that is a deep sorrow for our sins. It's contrition. It's not simply that I've broken the laws of the land. It is that I've offended the awesome, holy God. My life is not what it should be. It has offended God. And I feel sorry about that. And I come to him and I ask him to forgive me. Repentance is a key opening the door so that Christ comes in. But the other key is faith. Faith is to believe that Jesus Christ has died for sinners like me, like you. Faith is like the hand that reaches out to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Faith is like going through the door into the Christian life. So you start the walk by receiving Jesus Christ. To receive Jesus Christ is a gift and it is a welcome. And notice what he says about Jesus here in our text, verse 6. Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ means he's the promised Messiah, the one of whom the Old Testament scriptures were speaking. He came. Jesus means Savior. He came from heaven to earth to save us from our sins. As I was saying to the children, he came as the good shepherd to find the lost sheep. And he did that by his dying on a cross. Jesus Christ, he says here, the Lord. He is God. He's a man, thoroughly human, born as a baby, but the Lord. He is God. God and man. God so that he could reconcile us to God. A man so that he would understand us and be able to reconcile us to God. So he is Christ Jesus the Lord. So then, have you started on the walk? Have you received God's gift? Have you received the Lord Jesus? Have you welcomed him into the house of your life? So let's come to the second question. How do I continue this walk? So it's good to start the walk, but we want to finish it. We want to continue it and finish it, and the walk will lead us eventually into heaven. But how do I continue that walk? Well, the apostle tells us in our text, in verse 7, he says, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So walk, pick up the word walk. We continue the walk as pilgrims. The walk suggests pilgrims on a journey to heaven. So we are walking, and it's going to be a long walk. For some, it's going to be a long walk. But you have to keep on walking. Keep on plodding. Walk. Making steady progress as you go on in your Christian life. So we're here for a brief time, but heaven is for eternity. This is a world of sin and sorrow. Heaven is a world of joy and peace, happiness and holiness. We can't imagine what heaven will be like, but this is our destination. And to get there, we've got to keep on walking. As God gives us strength and power, we keep on walking. And these Colossians were to walk consistently with the teaching that they'd learned from Epaphras, their pastor. He talks about him in chapter 1 and chapter 4. Epaphras had taught them. And that's why he says here that you are established in the faith. You keep walking, holding on to the truths that you have been taught. That's the way to avoid being shipwrecked in your Christian life. Hold on to the things you've been taught in God's word, in the Bible. Hold on to those things as you walk along the Christian pathway. And notice, he says here that we walk in him, with the power and strength that he gives us. But may we not suggest that in him means he is our walking companion. We are walking hand in hand, side by side, through our lives as Christians, with the Lord Jesus. He is with us. We are walking with him day by day through our lives. That means that we listen to him, what he says in the Bible. If you're walking with somebody and you're talking, you listen to them, don't you? And you talk with them. And we talk to the Lord Jesus as we pray. So it's important, if you are to walk and make progress in the Christian life, it is important to make time every day to read the Bible and to pray. There are essentials to the Christian life. You can't make any progress if you do not read the scriptures and if you do not pray. Indeed, I would say, if you hardly ever read the Bible or hardly ever pray in your home, then you're not a Christian. These are the very basics of Christian progress, of Christian growth, of walking side by side in the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a man we read of in the Bible called Enoch, back in Genesis 5. It's a difficult chapter to read, Genesis 5, because you constantly read, he was born and he died. He was born and he died. He was born and it's like walking around a cemetery. But right in the middle of that chapter, we read about Enoch, who walked with God. Over 300 years, they lived a lot longer then. Over 300 years, he walked with God, talking with God, walking with God, in fellowship with God. That's what the Christian life should be. And then we read that one day, Enoch walked with God, and they got so far from Enoch's home that God said, well, you come into my home. And Enoch never died. He went straight into heaven. And one day we, like Enoch, will walk through the gates of heaven into the immediate presence of God and the Savior. What a day that will be, to see his face, to see that all of the difficulties that we've experienced through walking were well worth it, to see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we have walked day by day throughout our lives. So we walk as pilgrims, but then we grow as trees. Look back to the text, rooted and built up in him. Rooted suggests trees. Christians are like trees. Trees rooted in God's grace and rooted in God's word, the Bible. Rooted trees that are growing. Now you'll notice it's rooted and built up in him. The in him, I think, can also apply to the bit rooted as well as being built. We'll look at that in a moment. In him, it means we derive our life and our usefulness and our fruitfulness from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go home and read John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He pictures himself as a vine, and we are the branches. And we're deriving our life from the Lord Jesus. As the vine derives life, the branches derive life from the vine, from the tree. So we have life flowing through us and from the Lord Jesus, the true vine. And he says, abide in me. It means cling to me. Cling to me. Never let me go. Keep as close to me as you can. That's how you make progress. You cling to him through his word, through prayer, fellowship with Christians, hearing his word. You cling to him because your whole life depends on it. Cling to the Lord Jesus. But he also says in John 15 that the vine dresser sometimes cuts off the prunes of the vine. When I first moved into the manse in Stratford, where I was my first pastorate, the house manse had been empty for a while, and in the garden there was a bush running all over the fence. It's only a small garden, fortunately. All over the fence, and the rose trees were looking neglected, and I knew nothing about pruning or farming, but I went to the co-op, bought myself a lawnmower, and mowed the small garden and got some, clippers? Clipped down the thing running all over the fence. And then I thought, I've got to do something about these roses. So, in my ignorance, I pruned them, cut off the dead bits. I thought, dead bits. And, wow, amazing. The roses began to grow. And the Lord does that. He prunes us. Sometimes he allows painful things to come into our lives. Disappointment, frustrations. Things don't go according to our plans. Maybe we lose somebody we love. It's all part of God's pruning. But he cares for us, and it's that we might grow and be more fruitful trees, that we may be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank him when he allows sad, difficult, hard things in your life. It's the Lord pruning you. It's the Lord caring for you. It's the Lord preparing you for heaven. So we grow like trees. And so the Lord prunes us. Read Psalm 1 as well sometime, and there it says that Christians meditate on the Bible, God's Word. They reflect upon it. And Christians are like trees planted by the water. As we learn from God's Word, so we begin to grow like trees. And read sometime Galatians 5. It talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in the Christian. And there's fruit, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, and so on. And if there's no fruit, you're not yet a Christian. You're not a tree. The evidence that you are a Christian, a tree, is that you're bearing fruit. Apple trees only bear apples. Pear trees only grow pears. But the Christian is like a tree bearing all kinds of fruit. The fruit of a holy, godly life. A fruit of the fruit of being like Christ. The fruit of bringing others to know the Savior. So how do you continue this walk as pilgrims on a journey to heaven? As trees that are growing. But back to our text, he says, and built up in him. So we are like a building built up in him. Some of the translations have it as being built. So, and that seems to be what Paul is saying, you're being built, though it's a work in progress. The building will not be complete until you reach heaven. Now, sometimes you see a building site and nothing's been done for months. And you think, what's going on here? Well, maybe the builder's run out of money and he can't complete the work. But you will never see a Christian who is not, where God does not complete his work. God is working in us and he will complete his work in you. You will one day be a beautiful palace. You will reflect the grace and glory of God. And what is this building? It's a temple, a spiritual temple. Every Christian is a spiritual temple in which God lives by his Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Peter 2 verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God is building a temple. For the Jews, when they thought about God, they thought of God in the temple. In the temple was what was called the Ark of the Covenant, a box that represented God's presence. To the Jew, if he said, where is God? He's in his temple. Where is God now? Well, in a sense, he's in heaven. But in another sense, by his Holy Spirit, he's in you, the temple. Now, the temple was a holy place. Our lives are to be holy. Our lives are to be pleasing to God. I'm not to allow anything into the temple of my life that would displease God and contaminate the temple. So I must keep my mind and my thoughts pure. I must keep my speech pure. I must make sure I'm listening to the things that are wholesome and good and holy. I must make sure I'm in the company of Christians, learning and growing, being built as a temple. And one day, the temple will be complete. Again, we notice, built up in Him. In Him. What does that mean? It means that Christ is the foundation, and we are the living stones being built upon the foundation. You need a foundation to a building. We need a foundation to our Christian lives. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus told a parable at the end of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, 7. At the end of chapter 7, Jesus told a parable. Two men building. Here's a man. He's building a house. He wants to get it up as quickly as possible, and he's building it on sand. And he's got it up quickly. Ah, but here's another man. He's taken a long time to build. He's going to so much effort, digging down into the ground and clearing the ground and laying foundations. And the man who's got his house up says, ah, you stupid man, taking so much time. But look, a storm comes, and the house on the sand collapses. But look, the man with his house built on the rock stands firm. And Jesus says, that's like people. Some are foolish, building on their own ideas, in a hurry to do everything. But Christians are building on the foundation. They are Christians who build on the rock are those who are building on Christ. They're building on what Christ says, on His teaching. They're taking the Bible seriously. And they're shaping all of their lives according to what Jesus says. How are you building? On the sand? People's opinions? Are you building on Christ and on His Word, the Bible? It's the only foundation that will stand when this world ends. And you have to stand before God in judgment. So how do you progress as a Christian? Walking as a pilgrim and growing as a tree and building. You're a building that God is building. But look, what else does he say? He says that we're established in the faith just as you were taught. So we're like scholars in a school, in a university. We are being taught, established in the faith, means that God gives us strength. He gives us stability. We can stand in the storms of life, established, given strength, just as you were taught. And you finish your school, and you go maybe to university, or you go into employment, and you may go to university and then you graduate. But we never ever graduate from God's school. We're always learning. If you think you know it all, well, you're very foolish. The more I go on in the Christian life, and I've been a Christian, well, over 60 years, I think, now, But I'm still thinking, there's so much I don't know. I still want to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still parts of the Bible I can't fathom and I can't understand. I want to know them more. And I'm always learning. You can never stop learning in the school of Christ. You can never stop growing. Never stop grasping more and more of spiritual truth. There's so much more for us to learn. Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians that it's like looking through a glass darkly, in the old authorized version. In the Bible days, the mirrors weren't very clear. What they saw was very distorted. And it seems like that at times, what we know of God, it's so small. It seems to be so distorted. We hardly understand who God is. But when we see Him, we will fully understand. At last, we will have perfect understanding and perfect knowledge. Won't that be wonderful? To see him and to be like him and at last to understand something more about him. I think even in heaven, we will never ever fully understand God. How could we? He's God. But we will understand a lot more than we do now. And that will be wonderful. So how can you grow in your understanding? If you're upshupling God's school, it means you'll be constantly reading the Bible. I can't say that enough. You'll be constantly reading the Bible, filling your mind with it. You want to hear the Bible expounded, preached. You can't hear enough of it. Sunday can't come quick enough for the Christian. When I was a young Christian in my 20s, I used to travel to work every day on the train from Woolwich up to Charing Cross. And I'd have my New Testament with me. It was always in my pocket, wherever I went. I was reading it on the train, on buses, wherever I was. Sitting in a cafe, having a coffee. I'd read my Bible. I wanted to fill my mind and heart with God's word, the Bible. It was said of John Bunyan, you've probably heard this before, that if you pricked John Bunyan, it wouldn't be blood that came out, it would be the Bible. John Bunyan's preaching his books, they're so full of Christ. You must read the Bible. Because in the Bible, you learn more of Christ, you come closer to Christ. Fill your mind with the Bible. It's the word of the living God. There's one more thing in our text. We're walking as pilgrims, growing as trees. We're being built as a living temple. We are students in Christ's school. And we're like an overflowing river. Did you notice that in our text? He says there in our text in verse 7, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. The word abounding means that Christians are like a river overflowing. And overflowing with what? With thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Now in my Bible at home, my study Bible, I've gone through my Bible and I've underlined every time we read about thanksgiving or rejoicing or praising in the book of Colossians. And it's quite amazing how many times that occurs. So overflowing with thanksgiving. So what kind of Christian are you? Are you joyful? Always praising God? Some call themselves Christians are always complaining, always grumbling. The weather's too wet, the weather's too hot, it's never right. Always grumbling, always complaining. And you look at some Christians and you think, good grief, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. But other people should see your life and your joyfulness, even in suffering, and think, I want to be a Christian. I want to be like that person. What have they got? Why are they so happy? Why are they so content? Why can they go through the worst kinds of trials and still be praising God? You see, even on the worst day, there's always something to praise God for. You praise him that he is your God. You praise him that Christ is your Savior. You praise him that you've got a wonderful future to look forward to. There's always something to praise God for. So you should be overflowing, abounding with thanksgiving. And this is part of walking in him, walking with God, walking towards heaven. And the best is yet to come. Psalm 16 puts it, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, we know joy as Christians now. Peter talks about joy inexpressible, full of glory, in one of his letters. Well, if that's what it's like to be a Christian now, times when we feel the very presence of God and joy, what will it be like? Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures we just cannot begin to imagine how wonderful it will be. So two questions. How do I begin this walk? It's a gift from God. It's you welcome Christ into your life. How do I continue this walk? You walk as pilgrims. You're growing as trees. You're being built into a spiritual temple. You're students in Christ's school and you can never ever stop learning. You're an overflowing river full of thanksgiving. So have you received God's gift? Have you welcomed Christ into your life? Are you walking, growing, building, listening, and abounding with praise?